Half the world wants you dead. And the other half is beating you halfway there. And he says, our light affliction, this nuisance, this inconvenience of prison and shipwreck, torture, stoning, persecution and hatred, this our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but to the things which are unseen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Paul says the sacrifices we make for the kingdom of God, whatever it costs us to follow Christ with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, whether we see anything or not, whether we see any fruit or not, whether we see any results here or not, whether people still hate us until the day they carry us out, the sacrifices we make for the kingdom of God carry the promise from God of an exceeding, eternal, everlasting weight of glory that shall not fade away as a reward. Now, what is an eternal weight of glory? Well, it can mean a lot of things. It can mean rewards in the millennium. It can mean rewards of honor bestowed upon us, commendations from the Lord. But I think there is one meaning. When he talks about the weight of glory that you have coming to you, everybody say that I have coming to me.
I have coming to me.
Say it again.
I have coming to me.
This eternal weight of glory that is on its way, it's in the mail, that I have coming to me. I think one meaning we can apply to that is that it has to do with our resurrection body and the glory that literally shines and radiates and emanates from it. This is cool stuff. When Jesus talked about the end of the age, this is what he said in Matthew 13, 43. Jesus said, then the righteous, is that you? Are you born again? Are you a Christian? Say, that's me. Yeah, that's me. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Just like Jesus was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration and glory radiated from him. Just like when John saw him in the book of Revelation and his face shone like the sun in its full strength. Even like Moses, whose face shone like the sun when he would meet with God. Will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Daniel, in the Old Testament, 12:3, talks about this time to come. And he says, those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Do you know you are going to shine? You are literally going to be like a Roman candle. You will radiate the very visible, tangible glory of God from your being. You will be like you'll be a star. Praise God. Just like Jesus, when John saw him in the book of Revelation, his face shone like the sun in its strength. Now, it would, just on that level, that would be cool. Because, I mean, frankly, I think it's cool to think that we're going to shine. We'll walk into a room, you won't need to hit the light switch. Bam, there you are. You won't need this stuff anymore. Turn the light off, doesn't matter. Praise God. I think it would be cool if it was just at that level. But here's what I think is the coolest thing about that. I think that radiance, that brilliance, that effusion that comes and emanates from us when we are in our glorified bodies, I think that's simply an indicator of the powerful, tangible presence of God in and upon and through that person. In other words, the greater the visible glory, the greater that sense of the presence of God in and through that person. When I first got saved, not long after I got saved, I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, filled with the Holy Spirit, whatever you want to call it. Call it what you will, man. It was glorious. When that guy at the front of the room started praying and he said the words Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden I felt that glory and power and energy in the depths of my being, and it began to be intoxicating, and I could feel literally the power of God surging and coursing through my being to where I thought I was going to explode with joy. I wanted to laugh out loud. I was afraid they'd throw me out, so I just clenched my teeth instead. I should have just let it fly and let him throw me. I probably wouldn't have felt a thing, but that sense of the tangible glory and presence of God, and I have never in 20-some years have ever felt like that since. That's okay, because I believe that day is coming when that eternal weight of glory rests upon me and courses through me. I think it will be every bit of that and then some. I think that was a foretaste of the joy, the supernatural joy that seemed to come from heaven itself. It was otherworldly. It just filled my soul to where I just wanted to cry out with joy. And I think that is what awaits every one of us. We can taste it when we get filled with the Holy Spirit, and we can get a little tiny foretaste. But on that day when that eternal weight of glory rests upon us, I think the greater the degree of glory, the greater capacity you and I will have to enjoy the fullness of the joy and glory and power of God coursing through our being. And brothers, that is something to look forward to. Let me tell you what, come Lord Jesus, I long for that day. The better is one day like that in the presence of God than thousands elsewhere. You can have this world, man. Take everything. I leave it all to you. You can have every guitar at Guitar Center. You can have every car on the parking lot. You can have every tractor and every power tool at the warehouse. I'm leaving it all behind because I long to taste and drink from the glory of the presence of the living God and have that living water flow through my being undiminished. Just throw open the gates and let it roar through me. Man, when D.L. Moody had an encounter with God like that walking down the streets of New York, when he would cry out for weeks and months, God, please, please fill me with the Holy Spirit. Please anoint me with the Holy Spirit. I need you so much. I want it. I want it. And his church and his house burned down in Chicago. He had to leave the city to go to New York to try to raise some funds. And all he could think about was, I want the Holy Ghost. I want him to flow through me and overflow me because I need him so that I can minister. And yes, he had the Holy Spirit indwelling him, but he wanted the fullness of it. He couldn't even think about what he was there in New York to do. All he could do was walk down the street. And one day God said, you want it? Moody, you got it. And he said, I had to find somewhere to go because the joy and the power that was on me was so great, I thought I would die. And you know what? In your glorified body, you won't die. He can open the faucet wide open and you will love every minute of it. That's what I'm waiting for. And if the sufferings of this world, if I have to invest my life and sacrifice for the cause of Christ, for his kingdom, while I have the opportunity in this world, if that works for me a greater and more exceeding, more eternal weight of the glory of God in the presence of my being, then praise God. Give me the grace to sacrifice because I want him. That's the reward. The greatest reward that God can give to a believer is God. The greatest reward he can give is himself. And in that enhanced, that great capacity to experience God and to know him with utmost intimacy and richness and fullness, there is no reward that can compare to that. And so we ought to be investing ourselves so that we can look forward to a greater and fuller capacity to be filled with him in all of his majesty and glory. That's something we're sacrificing for. So if that's true, I ought to live life so that every decision I make in life ought to be with the thought, how will this impact the weight of glory that will be mine forever in Christ? When I think about where am I going to live? When the government wanted to send Matt to Oman or Yemen? Oman or Yemen? Oh man, oh man, okay. And Matt said, but God has called me here. Could have stayed 5 more years in the Air Force and gotten a sweet retirement package. But God has called him here. And praise God, brother. God bless you. That inspires me. Matt said, no thanks. I choose Jesus. This is where he planted me. This is where you'll find me. Here I'll stay. Just like Ruth. Praise God. Where will I live? Where will I work? What will my career be? What will I purchase and what will I buy? What will I invest my money and my resources in? Do I really want to take out a 5-year loan to purchase that item when I could be feeding children in Peru who don't have water or electricity or even a bathroom? When there are people around me who I could bless with this thing or the other thing? Do I want to invest all of my money in the things of this world that are one day just going to burn up? Where will I live? Where will I work? What will I own? Who will I marry? Will it be a person that will help me to walk closer to Christ, or will they be a distraction and pull me farther away? Everything in life ought to have at least some thought given to the question, what part does this play in eternity? And is it working in me a greater weight of glory for the future? Because if we only live for this moment, we'll choose for this moment. And we'll get to heaven on that day, and he will say, you have already had your reward. What more do you want? You had it all. But like the beggar in Luke 16, when the rich man who had already had it all found himself in torments and the beggar was carried to Abraham's bosom, God said to the rich man, you had your good things in your life. And he was tormented then. Now you're tormented, but now is payday for him. And his paycheck will never run out. Praise God. So rejoice in light of eternity. Invest yourself in eternity. We've got a party that's coming, and we ought to celebrate. Praise God. Next week, we're going to talk about the other resurrection. So if you have an unsaved friend and you want him to hear the gospel, you want to invest in eternity, invite him to church next week. Take a chance. Yeah, he might laugh at you. Yeah, he might say, oh, give me a break. Me in church, are you kidding? We're going to talk about the other resurrection next week. We're going to go straight gospel next week. Invest in eternity. Bring a friend to church. Let him hear the gospel. Praise God. But in the meantime, we ought to be celebrating.